sunny and 54, but the chance of precipitation in between. Hey, Ted Dabrowski, my friend from Wire Points, has been with me many years to talk over some financial issues in the state of Illinois. He's rejoining me this morning. Did you wake up to a bunch of snow this morning? Oh, actually, you probably went to bed last night with a lot of snow outside your door, didn't you, Ted?
Well, I certainly woke up with some, and a lot of that wind that you're talking about, it kept me up all night.
Yeah, it was pushing around the house last night. Ted, I said this quite a lot during and after the election, that when it came to topics in the election, really, nobody wanted to take on the pension crisis and how it was going to be dealt with in Illinois. And I thought, well, maybe they did in a way. I mean, Dr. John Jackson and I were talking about it. How many times do you see a candidate whose platform is, I want to raise your taxes? And he says, well, you want to raise the other guy's taxes. That's more accurate psychologically speaking. But, you know, nobody wants to talk about the pension crisis in Illinois now. We just, the sky's not falling, and we don't owe $215 billion.
No, you know, they don't know what to do about it because, you know, they don't want to take on the reforms that are necessary to fix it. And to talk about the real things that they plan on doing, and I want to give your listeners kind of the lookout of what's coming and what they should be listening for as the code word for their, quote, reforms. They don't want to talk about it because those are bad things they're going to do. And everything they want to do is basically kick the can, pass on the bill to your children, your grandchildren. And those are not good campaign topics, so that's why they stayed away from it. And they have no plans to fix pensions.
All right, and so have our kids fix it, all right? If you're young, it's going to be you, not your kids. Tell me what the Edgar ramp is in 2025 and the significance.
Yeah, this all matters because back in 1994, 1996, Edgar came up with this bipartisan plan, you know, and that's very important. It's bipartisan, as they like to say. It was a compromise. And what they did is Edgar made the pension payments really, really small during his tenure so that the state didn't have to make big, big payments to the pension plan. But then after that, they start to balloon. And guess what? We're in that period where they're ballooning. They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Now they take up 25% of our budget. And the Edgar ramp was responsible for a big part of that. Look, I'm not going to pin the whole problem of pension on Edgar. But that Edgar ramp was the big, quote, reform, that compromise, that bipartisan deal that unleashed Illinois' pension crisis.
And let's talk
and
about
we're living that now.
It is a good time to interrupt now. This was 1994, right?
Yes.
The pension crisis was $17 billion. That was the crisis, $17 billion, not $214 billion.
Yeah, it was relatively, you know, we could have gotten it under control at that point. We could have said, let's be more disciplined, let's put in more money, let's stop the growth in promises. But you know what? You know, Edgar has bragged that he made the biggest increases in pension benefits, you know, in recent history. He bragged about paying out more and more to the pensioners. So not only did he underfund it, but he brags about handing out, doling out more and more benefits, which makes him really popular. And I tell you, he got really lucky because what happened during his tenure was we had the dot-com boom of the 90s. And so all those problems he was creating were hidden by the fact that the stock market returns were really high. And also, there were accounting rule changes that made him look really good. So he got to come out of that looking you know, pretty rosy. But now we're paying the price for that. And that's where it gets really dangerous. And that's why Edgar is so important to J.B. Pritzker.
2025, my understanding is that our entire state budget would be required to make the pension payments by 2025. Is that true?
Well, you know, you can run a few scenarios where at least half of the budget, you know, if you were to properly pay down the retirement costs, not just pensions, but also retiree health care, which we dole out for free, it would take half of the budget. So that means that, you know, instead of taking, let's say, 10 or 15% of the budget in other states, we'd be at half. So it would be destructive to our school, our funding for schools, for roads, for health care, just destructive.
All right. Now, I use the term $214 billion because I can find sources, including Wikipedia, that back that up. When I spoke with Governor-elect J.B. Pritzker, he said, no, it's not 214, it's not 160, it's not 180, it's 120. We agreed on 120 for debate purposes.
Well, they're the official numbers, and you know those come straight from the government, so you can immediately, you know, be skeptical about those, or you can listen to what the rating agencies say. The rating agencies are the ones that rate Illinois compared to other states, and Moody's says it's $250 billion. And Moody's is the one that has given us a junk bond rating, which means we are the financial deadbeat of all states in the country. So I'd rather listen to Moody's than to J.B. Pritzker or the official numbers coming from the government. You know, they've proven us time and again that they're either wrong or under reporting it.
Or we have about $85 billion on hand to pay $200-plus billion?
That's correct. And that's why we have such a big hole.
So are we the third highest or the highest when it comes to pay? I think because is Kentucky, New Jersey or something like that?
Yeah, we fight. Yeah, between Kentucky, New Jersey, Connecticut, us, we fight. But nobody has, I think, the overall package of financial problems, because we also have this retiree health care gap, a shortfall that we'll be reporting on soon. It's huge, too, and nobody even talks about that. So when you add it all up, nobody looks like us, and that's why we are the worst rated. You know, we have the lowest score of any state in the nation.
And the reason why I think Ted Dabrowski, WirePoints, is joining us this morning, that in the last couple of moments, Ted has mentioned health care twice. And the reason why is these health care benefits, pension benefits, they're a known quantity. Health care benefits can change based on how much they are used, how much is being charged. That is an unknown quantity that can fluctuate a great deal.
Yeah, and it's a number that's around $70 billion, according to the latest accounting reporting. So it's a huge number. So our mess is even bigger than we think. But hey, Tom, I want to make a point that's really important, and then why Edgar, and why we're talking about Edgar, is because Pritzker put him on his transition team because Pritzker doesn't have a plan for pensions. So what he's going to do, he's either going to borrow more money, he's going to stretch out the repayments just like Edgar did, or he's going to start like selling off assets the state has to try to fund it. And so he needs a guy who can sell this plan, make it sound really good, make it sound bipartisan and a compromise. And we should be really skeptical anytime we hear there's going to be bond borrowing to issuing bonds and borrowing to fund these pensions, or if we hear that they're going to stretch out the payments. Those are code words for your listeners to call in and go crazy and tell their legislators, do not do that.
All right. So when I was doing homework, I did not know this, that we've actually been having this fight in Illinois about pensions since 1917. I was a little stunned by that.
Yeah, it's been going on for a long time because, as the unions got stronger, it used to be a long time ago that they weren't paid very well, right? And so the benefits were the good things of being a public servant. But over time, as the unions got stronger, and today, 96% of our state workers are unionized. I mean, there's no other state like that. So they have so much power now that they've gotten the salaries up, the health care benefits up, the pensions up, and that's why we're in trouble. But it's been a mess for a really long time. It's been a roller coaster.
All right. Here's a question. Anything where you complain but you don't have a solution is simply whining.
And absolutely correct.
All right, and that's the issue. And the fact is, you look at these figures, and we'll say, all right, $214 billion with a yearly budget of $3.5 billion. This is making noise in Washington, D.C. There is a committee whose some of the work was leaked out last week that have been working on underfunded pension problems. They have until November 30th to come up with a solution, right, out of D.C. Now, what's interesting about this, and the information that was leaked out end of last week, that they would think about $3 billion a year would be able to help. Imagine that, $214 billion, $3 billion for the entire nation for failed pension systems. If we're looking for Washington, D.C. to bail us out, we're looking the wrong place.
No, absolutely. You're right. I mean, we certainly don't want to bail out. It wouldn't be fair to ask those states that are well funded, take a Tennessee or something. You know, if they're running their state well, why the heck should their money come to Illinois to bail us out? So we don't want that. But what we do need are solutions. And I think the number one solution that I think everybody can eventually get behind, and I think you'll start to see some politicians look for it, is we need the constitutional amendment that allows us to change benefits for unearned, for anything that hasn't been earned yet. We should be able to change that, because if we can't do that, then we're headed to bankruptcy, and that's where you'll finally see the support from the federal government is some kind of bankruptcy law, much like what happened in Puerto Rico, that allows us to reorganize and restructure our debt. Because if we don't do it ourselves, the market and some form of insolvency, some form of inability to pay, will force it. So we're calling for a constitutional amendment that allows us to reform pensions going forward. And it's fair, it's correct, it's the right thing to do. And at some point, I think you're going to see a lot of legislators and leaders get behind it. Now the question is, can we create a mass and enough support and enough grassroots support to push that? And we need it.
And I think you got to listen closely when Ted just mentioned unearned pension benefits. We're not talking about I've earned, I'm retired, you've got it coming. What he's talking about, people are in the pipe now changing their benefits from this point forward.
Yeah, you know, you've seen places like Rhode Island. You know, Rhode Island changed the retirement ages. You know, so if you're a 23-year-old state worker today, well, maybe you'll have to work three more years or four more years as opposed to retiring in your mid-50s. These cost of living adjustments need to be changed. So there's a lot that can be done, but we need that constitutional amendment, or otherwise the Supreme Court's always going to have tie our hands. And look, if we don't do it, then those benefits will be changed because we'll have some kind of insolvency, some kind of bankruptcy.
Right, that where we just don't have any more money, period.
Period, yeah. And you know, there'll be a fight between bondholders, the pension funds, and other providers like the social service agencies that are owed money. They're all going to be in a battle in the courts, hoping to, you know, seeing who gets taken care of and how much they're cut. And that's, you know, that's not the way we want to go, and that's the way you know, Detroit went. That's the way Stockton went. A lot of cities have gone that way. We've never seen a state go that way, but we may be the sad distinction of being the first.
But
and that would be a travesty.
But last week, you know, I've got a mayor from a local town who, you know, came in and says, you know, we're raising our property taxes. You know, of our home of $129,000 is going to be about $53, $54 a year for additional taxes, and this is solely for police and fire pensions because we've grown over 5,000. So we have to have a lower more contribution. You know, there are small towns that are dealing with this. And there's two issues that I see. One, I call this the Great Wall. The Great Wall theory. It's a personal theory. I'm sorry, I indulge myself in that fashion. The China had the will and discipline to create an object that you could see from outer space, all right? Whether it was needed or not, well, people will debate that in history. But they had the will to do it. And I'm not talking about a tyranny necessarily, but, you know, when we have big problems, big goals, the United States, state of Illinois, we have a hard time staying on mission and staying focused. I mean, the Edgar ramp is a good example. Oh, well, the problem's solved. We can go walk away and start doing stuff. We've got the Great Wall issue, whether Illinois has the self-discipline to be able to implement. And the second thing is that that discipline is important because there's no single silver bullet. You can't pull the trigger on one thing and say, okay, that's taken care of now, because listening to you, I said, well, we shave a little bit here, we control a little bit here, we shave a little bit here, we don't make further promises down here, that we have to have a long list of issues to be able to deal with this number this big, and we do not have the self-discipline to do that.
Well, Tom, you're right. You know, we've come up with, I don't know, you know, our list of reforms is pretty long, and we'd argue that you have to do all of them. We're in such a mess that you have to do all of them, and it takes a lot of discipline. Sadly, if you look at this team and the transition team, it looks like they're going to do one more round of the same old stuff, right? The kicking the can down the road stuff. And so it's going to hurt us. And that's sad because it may bring the only thing left, which is some form of bankruptcy. But we at Wirepoints are fighting that. We'd like to see us actually come around to reforms. The good news is, you know, markets are punishing, and guys like J.B. Pritzker and Mike Madigan don't want to oversee a bankruptcy. So what we have to do is stop them from doing the stupid things, the wrong things, and bring them around to doing something like a constitutional amendment, and, you know, things like salary freezes and, you know, and headcount reductions, and those are tough discipline things. But, you know, it's what's required, and it's any company, any family, any school district, any government. That's what you do when times get tough. You got to tighten the belt, cut costs, and you know, reorganize. That's all we're asking for.
I've talked to a lot of Republicans say they, out of all the times in the world, a constitutional convention in the state of Illinois, because no way, because once they get in to crack that open, what will we come out with? I've heard that complaint. And then, of course, you've got the legislative weight to go ahead and potentially do that. And, well, I think the Democrats have the weight to be able to get that done if they want to do it legislatively.
Well, they certainly do. And, you know, we need to make our case that the reformers, I'll say that, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, and, you know, right now we don't have many reformers. We tend to have these legislators that are just kicking the can down the road. But we need to make our case just like they need to make their case. And we need to fight for those proper reforms. And if we lose, we lose. But I think we've got to do a better job of making our case and convincing people that tax hikes and reamortizations and bond borrowings, they're the wrong thing, and we can't let them do it, and that the right thing to do is to do like the constitutional amendment and, you know, give, for example, give local governments the chance to go bankrupt if that's their best negotiating tool. We need those kind of things to change the path we're on. Otherwise, you know, we're just going to get this big government. This big government is going to win out, and people are going to keep leaving.
Well,
it's going to fall apart either way, right? Because if they don't fix it, people will keep leaving, and we're seeing that everywhere in Illinois.
Well, you know, we had the tax increase, but I didn't see the bills go down. The only reason the bills went down is we borrowed $16 billion.
Well, we borrowed a $6 billion bond, and so the $16 billion came down to about $8 when you take into account some other things. So, yeah, all we did was borrow from one credit card to pay down the other. That's the kind of tricks we're doing.
But I never saw the $16 billion or whatever, $6 billion show up in another column. We still owe it.
Yeah, we still owe it. It just made our long-term debt bigger. That's why we say we push it on to our kids. And that's the sad part because, you know, well, the other thing is our kids don't have to stay here, right?
Right.
We can push on that debt, but we're forcing our kids to go to Tennessee or Texas or you know, places that are more friendly. And they're not dumb. Why should they stick around and pay the bill, especially if they didn't create it?
$7,035,106,257.91 as of 8 a.m. this morning in backlog bills. I talked to the treasurer, Michael Frerichs, the other day.
Mm-hmm.
About using Illinois money that we have in road funds to invest in our debt so that we get the interest from our not paying bills. When we those things have overnight, he has overnight options, he can use that to, instead of making 3-7%, that we can invest in our own debt to make the 12% interest back that we're required to pay.
Well, Tom, you're bringing up a great subject, and kudos to my partner, Mark Glennon. Nobody talked about what you just said. You know, Frerichs in the Treasury was managing $13 to $14 billion, and at the same time we had all these unpaid bills. So Frerichs was taking that money and investing it at 1% and 2%, and we're paying 9% and 12% penalty rates on our unpaid bills. And so Mark Glennon, my partner, said, "Why aren't we using some of that money?" A few months ago, a bill was passed where the Treasurer is now taking about $2 billion and effectively helping keep our unpaid bills down. And kudos to Mark Glennon for bringing that up, and it's good that the government finally did that. But why did it take us to scream and yell about it? That's something that they should have thought on their own, right?
But I still feel hinky as heck about it. We're going to make money off our own debt.
The point you're saying, yeah, it's crazy that we're having to do that in the first place.
Yeah, it just feels hinky, and I don't like it. Doesn't pass the smell test, and I get it. But for some reason, this bothers me in a profound fashion that I really haven't been able to verbalize yet.
Yeah, it's a mess when you don't pay your bills and you have to start looking in other places and doing funny things to pay them down.
Right.
And that's where we are.
Well, truth be known, when I was a little younger, I did some of that stuff, some pretty hinky stuff to get around it too. So, yeah, I get that. I probably ought to mind my own conscience there a little closer. Ted Dabrowski, WirePoints. Final thoughts, Ted?
Yeah, Tom, I think for the listeners, be on the lookout. When they're selling you something that sounds really, really good and they're trying to pitch it and it's bipartisan, watch out. It's likely to be some kind of kick the can, some kind of reborrowing, some kind of stretching out the payments. It's not good. Fight it. You know, fight it with your friends. Fight it with your legislators. We will eventually win. It's going to take all of us coming together to push back against these gimmicks.
Ted, your website, if people want to go learn more?
Wirepoints.com. If you do hear about those kind of things, come to wirepoints.com. For sure, we'll be writing about it and telling you what it means.